This is session number 25 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter 3, and we come to verse 22. Verse 22 is a short interlude, and it says, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized." So this is after Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover, after he threw the money changers out of the temple and all the animals and all those that sold animals. And this is after he caused that uproar, and then Nicodemus came to him by night, and Jesus spoke directly to Nicodemus about his need for the new birth. And so after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. So just quick, who follows Jesus? Verse 22, his disciples. His disciples. Do superficial believers follow Jesus? No, they don't follow him. Remember, back at the end of chapter 2, there were superficial believers who they saw the miracles he did and they believed in his name. But Jesus didn't commit himself to them, and they didn't follow him either. They just kind of had a superficial faith. Who actually follows Jesus Christ? His disciples do. And it's just interesting to make note of that. You see the path of the Lord Jesus here, his path in his public preaching and teaching ministry. He's going to follow the exact same path, almost, as the Holy Ghost follows in the book of Acts, which we're not surprised because Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's the same Spirit that's leading the early church. It's leading Jesus here. So in John 2 and 3, where does Jesus begin preaching and teaching? He begins in Jerusalem. After Jerusalem, where does he go? He goes to Judea here in John chapter 3. After Judea, where is he going to go in John chapter 4? He's going to go to Samaria. And at the end of John 4, where is he going to go? He's going to go all the way up to Galilee. And it's just interesting how in Acts, Jesus Christ told his apostles that they'd receive power from the Holy Ghost and that they would first preach in Jerusalem, then they would go to Judea, then they would go to Samaria, and then they'd go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so it's just interesting how Jesus Christ is taking this same path here. Notice he tarries with them. He tarried with them. Jesus likes to hang out with his disciples. He likes to spend time with his disciples. That's who he likes to spend his time with. He does what he needs to do. You see, he fulfills the Father's will. He loves to do the Father's will. But if Jesus has the choice on who he spends time with, he likes to spend time with his disciples. Amen. And here it says that he baptized there. So in the land of Judea, Jesus is baptizing. Now, we'll find out in the next chapter, thankfully, John wrote these things, we'll find out that actually Jesus himself never baptized anybody in water, that it was actually his disciples who baptized in water. Just an interesting note. In fact, it's interesting because in the other gospel accounts, you don't see this at all. They never mention Jesus baptizing at all. Only in the Gospel of John here does it say that he baptized, but then John's going to clarify later that he didn't actually do the baptizing, it was his disciples. You see that in 4, verse 1 and 2. What's the point? I guess maybe just something to see that Jesus is beginning the new here. And so as he's beginning the new and his ministry, he carries forward water baptism. He does, and you'll see it carry forward through the book of Acts, and all of his apostles will baptize their converts in water. So Jesus is just setting the mark that he is carrying forth water baptism, but the distinction is made because just like John the Baptist was sent baptizing in water, but he kept telling him, "There's one coming after me, mightier than I. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And he included a Matthew, and Matthew it's included, "And he'll baptize you with fire," which that's not a good baptism that you want. But anyways, the point is, I think Jesus Christ, being the Christ, being the one who's establishing these spiritual things, he never himself actually baptized in water. But he does leave that mark on his ministry, and his disciples did do it, carrying it forward. But I think God really reserved Christ for that ministry of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's what it's all about. It's good to be baptized in water. It's good to do it out of obedience unto the Lord and unto his will and the mark that he left and the mark that his disciples left. It's a good thing. But, man, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, your water baptism is completely worthless, which is why in all the Gospels, it hardly mentions anything about Jesus baptizing in water. This is the only time it does. And then it clarifies a chapter later that he didn't actually do it. It was his disciples. But all through, you see Jesus preaching the truth, teaching the truth, so that people might be born again and be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. We need Jesus Christ's Spirit. That's what changes us. That's what transforms us. That's what purifies us. And so we just remember that. Now, as we move on, in verses 23 through verses 36, we're going to see John's further record. And this is the final record of John the Baptist in this gospel account. There's nothing else of John the Baptist after this. Now, in the other gospels, it will talk about when John is in prison and how low he got and how he sent some of his disciples to Jesus to just check and make sure that he really was the one. So there is a further record of John beyond this, although it's indirect. It's through his disciples. But in terms of this book that we're studying, John, this is the last record we have of John the Baptist. And what's interesting is this message, this preaching, teaching we're about to see of John the Baptist here in John 3, it's only in this gospel. It's not found in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. So what we're about to read is unique to the gospel of John, and it's really neat. I'll just say this. We're going to see that John's not yet cast into prison. And the things John is about to reveal here, the things he's about to say, the things he's about to preach, the things he's about to open up are very profound. The Father had given him a really good understanding of Jesus Christ, who he was, and of what John's ministry was in preparation for Jesus Christ, and what John's relationship was with Israel compared to what Jesus Christ's relationship was with Israel and believers. John really, the Lord really revealed good stuff to John, and he's preaching and teaching these things with an authority and with a clarity. Things that from the other gospel accounts, if all you had were those accounts of what John did, you might not think John had this level of understanding, but he did. But it's also interesting in the context of that we know that John ends up getting thrown into prison shortly after this and gets so low that he gets to the point where he even starts doubting some of these things that he clearly understood and knew and preached and taught to people. And it's just shows us that if God starts to make you really strong in something, and he starts to reveal something clearly to you, and you begin to teach it to others, you begin to preach it to others, it's not uncommon that shortly after that, there's going to be some trial that's going to come and test you. There's going to be some hardship that's going to come and really hit you and keep you humble and keep you seeking God. It's just common. We read about a similar thing with Paul the Apostle, that he was given an abundance of revelations, and so that God literally gave him a messenger of Satan to just buffet, just to beat Paul and just keep him humble so that he wouldn't be exalted above measure. And so, I mean, because here John's still baptizing, and John's got a clarity of understanding here we're about to see, and just really had things nailed and understood exactly what was going on. And he's going to get hit with getting thrown in prison and being deserted by a lot of people And he's going to get to the point where he's going to send his own disciples to Jesus and go, are you the Christ, or should we look for another? I mean, he got that low. And the Father let him go through that and brought him through that to test him. But by the grace of God, we know that John, even though he got low and he doubted in the dark at times, God brought that confirmation, that assurance that John needed, and John finished his course well, and he was faithful unto death. And you better believe you'll see John the Baptist crowned with a crown of life. I mean, he's going to be crowned one day. And so don't ever doubt that. But just understand that as God starts to give you strength of understanding and strength of revelation, you really start seeing things clearly in certain realms. Don't be surprised if you get hit with some testing and some trying and some persecution and some affliction. Yeah, don't be surprised if it comes. And let's be on guard. Let's be prepared. So, verse 23, let's get into this. It says, and John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. So we see Jesus with his disciples going into Judea, and they're baptizing there. And John, he's up in Anon near to Salem, and he's baptizing there because there's much water. Now, they're not sure of where this area was, but we definitely know it's on the west side of Jordan, based on what the question that's going to come to him in a second. We know he's on the west side of Jordan, and evidently they think this is a little bit north Jordan, not up to the Sea of Galilee, obviously, but it appears it's somewhere a little bit southeast of Mount Gilboa. And this word Anon literally means fountain or springs. And we know Salem means peace or safe or undamaged. So John is literally near an area where there's fountain, there's springs. It says he's there because there's much water. And John's in a peaceful, safe place at this point in his life right now. He's not yet cast into prison. You see how, you know, these are real places, but the names carry meaning. And there's a reason why those names were given to those places. So just interesting, the Lord comments on that there was much water there. Okay, so obviously it's a prime spot for baptism, in the sense that when you baptize people, you take them and you dunk them under the water and you bring them up above the water. So you need a nice place where there's a lot of water. But I think also important to think about this, that in this type of society, in a rural agrarian society, where like basic subsistence farming, water is the most important thing. It's like the absolute most essential thing. So when we think much water, we think, oh, it's a good spot to baptize. And yeah, obviously. But I think more importantly is this is an attraction point for people. I mean, everybody in this area is going to be coming to this area to get fresh water, for bathing, for whatever their needs are. This is going to be an attraction point where the villages are going to come and they're going to get the water from here. So John doesn't just go there because it's a good spot to baptize. John goes there because this is where people are gathering. It's a good spot to preach the truth of God. It's a good spot to preach repentance toward God and to call people to turn back to him and give their lives to him and to determine that they want to live clean before God. And it's a good spot to preach that the Messiah has come and you got to get ready because he's moving and he's doing something. So I think we need to learn from this. It's good wisdom. The Holy Ghost leads John to Anon near to Salem because there's much water there. I don't think it's just because it's about the water. In fact, I think it's just interesting how the Holy Spirit used the water as an attraction point for people. And the thing that brought them to that place is the very thing that John used to preach the truth of God. And then he baptized them in this water unto a consecrated life to God. So he actually used that attraction point. And I'm just trying to say that, you know what, in 2019, you know, here we are in the 21st century, let's pray that we can have wisdom of the Holy Ghost to be in the right spots and using the things around us and the things in those areas that are necessary for life, and use those things unto God's glory, and use those things to turn people back to Him. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense, but maybe a good place now to go preach is maybe to go to a place where there's lots of jobs. You know, I'm just, okay, so he goes where there's much water. Why? Because people need water, so they're going to be gathering there. Maybe find a place where there's lots of jobs, because why? People need jobs. They need to provide for their family. Go there and preach the truth of God and baptize them into serving Jesus Christ. So there they're getting jobs and they're providing for their family, but show them that this provision doesn't last and this provision's of God, and man, we need God's provision, and we need to not just serve for our short earthly lives, but all this stuff one day when we die is going to all fade away and we can't bring any of it with us. And let's baptize them onto serving Christ and knowing Him and His provision. You know what I'm saying? We just need wisdom on how to actually serve Jesus Christ today, you know, right now where we're at. We're seeing what John did 2,000 years ago. And hallelujah, God used him mightily. And the reason why God used him mightily is because John didn't just read the Bible and just know what the Bible said. And he didn't just read about Elijah and know what Elijah did. And he didn't just read about Moses and know what Moses did and be able to talk about it. But he actually allowed himself to be where God wanted him to be in his lifetime for the people that were alive right then to turn real people back to him. And we need to do the same thing. I mean, we're studying the Bible and this is great and we learn and we grow and it's important, but God forbid that we just sit around and talk about the Bible and study the Bible and know what John did and know what Jesus did and become experts about that. But we ourselves are not actually in the place where God wants us doing the work that God wants us to do. Let's make sure that our lives right now are actually counting for Jesus Christ. John the Baptist lived like that. So he wasn't just following a dead tradition. This was something God gave him to do. He gave him the insight and the revelation to do it, and he did it, and God did a great work through John, and he could do the same with us. We've just got to be willing to be obedient to what the Lord calls us to do. And so here, John is doing what he's supposed to do, and what happens? Verse 25, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. So, look at this is just how it is. Whenever you do something for God, there's going to be doubters and there's going to be questions and there's going to be conflict. Notice it's between some of John's disciples, not all of his disciples, some of his disciples and the Jews. We don't know what the question exactly was. Says there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. We don't know what the question was, but we know it was about purifying. And considering Jesus is baptizing and John is baptizing and they're baptizing unto purification, and considering what they're about to come to John talking about, it's probably involving something to do with baptism. Maybe the question is, what's the point of this? Maybe the question is, what's the authority behind it? Why is John even doing this? Although they already asked that question, maybe it's more about Jesus. Why is Jesus baptizing? More people are starting to follow him. We can speculate on what the question is. Could it be any one of those sort of things? But this question led them to approach John himself and talk to him about Jesus. And so it's good that they didn't just debate about it, but they actually went to John and talked to him about it. So that's a good thing. And so Verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. So they come to John, and they're saying, hey, Jesus is baptizing now. Well, actually, that's not exactly true. We'll see that in the next chapter. Jesus himself isn't actually baptizing, it's his disciples. But we know Jesus is having his disciples do it, so it is part of his ministry. But it's not exactly true what they say. And then they say, and all men come to him. Again, not exactly true. I think it's a slight exaggeration. There's still some people with John there, and there's plenty who aren't coming to Jesus. So again, you could just see these Jews, their spirit, they're just off. You know, their spirit is just off. I don't know if they're really trying to actively sow discord and create conflict and controversy, but that's clearly what they're doing. I don't know if they're, again, I don't know if they're consciously aware that they're trying to do this. Some people sell themselves to evil and they know they're doing evil and they love doing evil. They rejoice in it and they secretly practice it at night and in their beds and they conceive it and they devise it. I don't know if these Pharisees, these Jews are really have sold themselves to evil. But their spirit's wrong. And you can just see they're causing discord, or at least attempting, and I think they were to a point, not with John. We're going to see this stuff doesn't touch John, at least not right now. Although who knows, maybe these little seeds took a little bit of root in John's mind and heart and maybe got him to the point where even in prison he's doubting, is Jesus really the Christ, because of this little, these little questions, you know, by these little bad-spirited Jewish Pharisees who just want to judge everybody else's ministry but don't actually want to serve God themselves. Or they're convinced that they are serving God by judging everybody else's ministry, which is just delusion. But you see, again, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Again, they might not be consciously trying to sow discord, but they're trying to sow discord. They're trying to create conflict. They're trying to create controversy. They're trying to create a competition between John and Jesus. You know, the one that you said was great, now he's out baptizing and everybody's going to him. Ah, Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to deal with these unspiritual people who have the wrong spirit and just love controversy and love gossip and love sitting around talking about people, but don't actually know how to walk in faith. Help us, Lord, to shut their mouths, to speak the truth. Help us to speak in love, speak with grace, but to shut their mouths, to shut their gainsaying, so that maybe they could find repentance and they could find real faith in the living God, not just controversy and conflict and religion and traditions and he said and she said and our forefathers and all that junk, but that they could actually know God and walk with the living God in their lives. So we're out of time, but next time we're going to see John's response to them. And it's excellent. He doesn't give them an inch. He doesn't allow any controversy or conflict or discord to be spread. He shuts their mouths. He opens some things up. He gives them a stern warning, almost to the point of a mild rebuke, but a warning. And it's just a really good response. It's a really special portion of Scripture. Like I said, it's not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It's only right here in John chapter 3, verses 27 to 36. So next time we're going to look at that. It's good, so I'm excited for that. And may the Lord help us. May he help us by his grace to have that wisdom, to be directed of his Spirit, to go to the place that we should be, so that we can help turn people back to our Father in heaven. Amen and amen.